Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called White Magnetic Wizard, and it is the first day of the White Wizard Wave Spell, and it is in the planetary moon day 9. But the most important thing of all is that it's April 12th. Well, that's certainly not the most important thing, but just to orient you and create a kind of bookmark for the future, April 12th is always 260 days after July 26th. So it is always the same Zolk'in day as the year itself. And they call this the galactic return, which is cool, right? Who's they? I don't know who that is. But it is called the Galactic Return. It's always today. And I wasn't sure. I was pretty sure it was April 12th. Hopefully next year I'll remember. The Gregorian days, they just fall away for me. But it's exciting that it's magnetic. It's a magnetic day. It's the beginning of a White Wizard Wave Spell. It is the same as the year, so we're going to talk about that quite a bit. It's a magic turtle day because it's a magnetic day and a magnetic year. It's just exponentially more exciting than any other magic turtle day. This happens every year, and it only happens once, obviously. And the way I think about it is 260 days of White Magnetic Wizard is its gestation. The year is cooked. The year is ready to come out and stand on its own for us personally and collectively. And what happens now is something extra. And another reason I really like to perceive it that way is because it is, here we are in the planetary moon, the moon of manifestation. And so we are manifesting White Magnetic Wizard, which is our purpose for the year. It is also our theme for the year. It's our background story. It's our main story. It is a personal journey. It is a collective journey. White Magnetic Wizard is the ultimate description and the encapsulating one of our whole experience this 13 moon year. And now it's manifesting, right now, today. And so in keeping with my description, which I got pretty into last podcast, one of the two that I put out there in a place of extreme unconfidence, I don't feel that way today. So I talked quite a bit about how we get to this point of manifestation and then what's beyond it in the 13 moon cycle and a 13 day cycle, but you know, most obviously in the 13 moon cycle, because we have 28 days to experience each tone. So now we're in the planetary tone, and it's about the peak, and it's also what keeps us from going any higher. And we have 28 days to experience that. It's a time of things being produced and perfected, and of course manifesting. And so it just makes sense that we would have the galactic return right here in the front end of the moon of manifestation. And then we will find out what's beyond 260 days of the year's energy. what's beyond the planetary moon, you know, after everything is manifested and goes to its peak achievement, accomplishment, demonstrates its ascendancy, what's after that? A lot of us who've followed the cycles for a long time know generally and specifically what's after that. The wave breaks, the wave settles, and the wave is still, and then another one is beginning. In that stillness, we have both the completion and the first stages of a new initiation. And so we spend a lot of time in the 13 moon year in the aftermath of our accomplishment. If the planetary moon, maybe the midpoint or so, is the highest peak, or even if you want to give it the whole 28 days, then we have still three moons after that. And that's 3 times 28, which is 84. I knew that. I was just toying with you. I thought it was 84. I wouldn't say it. Too bad. So we have 84 days to experience the afterlife and the impact of this whole wave that peaked. But the peak isn't the fulfillment. There is another phase, and that's what's really missed in culture, in modernism, in the escape from indigenous reality, which perhaps was really the, you know, entry into a trap when we let go of more primal ways of living and being. But in the description of the ancient Maya, not as ancient as the Egyptians, mind you, or like Jesus's era, the ancient Maya were in ascendancy in 800 AD. So they were pointing us to like the fullness of the experience of like capturing the kill, but then revering the kill. I'm talking about hunting. So you go hunting and there's this, there's all the preparation, and then there's the manifestation of that. And then there is not just eating, you know, there's the honoring, and then there's the careful preparation. And then there's the spaciousness, you know, where all that is. I'm kind of not good at this metaphor, and it makes me feel full of myself. But, you know, where I'm going is just sort of like it's all more patient, drawn out, just like quarantine, honestly, you know, where you're just... There are limitations against too many distractions, and so the pace slows. But I think a lot of people, you know, trapped in this paradigm that seems sort of retroactive, are probably also finding like how cool it is to be forced to eliminate a whole bunch of choices and have simplicity, and that time starts to get hard to pin down, which is a huge theme of White Magnetic Wizard. Timelessness. That was a word that Jose Arguelles chose, and I don't know why, but if we just adopt it as part of the descriptors of White Wizard, what timelessness means to me is not just, you know, feeling a loss, sort of almost hopeless sense of not being able to keep up with things or losing track of time, although it is both of those things as well. But timelessness to me means that the past is present and the future is present, that there isn't a limitation on how you experience time. So you can float back to something that pre-existed your lifetime in your mind, in your soul. And you can also sort of be comfortable reaching towards the future in the same way. And that sort of time travel option is one of the cool effects of White Wizard. And it's a White Wizard year, initiating a White Wizard 13-year cycle. And so again, there's just going to be a lot of this feeling of agility in moving, you know, between frequencies and perceptions, where time is not the most important experience, or that time is not a limitation. You know, I have to be somewhere on time. That the White Wizard people are often late, And it's not just that they're irritating and absent-minded to that one character flaw, like that their perception of time is just annoying, and that lateness is the most obvious example of it. I mean, it is true that they characteristically don't hold timestamps well, but they also are using the timelessness in the broader sense that I've just described, which is, you know, they'll stay late with you. They won't rush off from the time they're spending with you. What matters is something different than making things linear or counted in increments. And since we're all white wizards right now, that's also true of us. So it's the first time, actually, while I'm speaking, that I've thought about that. Here we are in the manifestation moon, and I'm saying that we have 260 days behind us of the white magnetic wizard year. And look, we're all likely to not know exactly what day it is when we wake, if that's no longer... apparently, that's not only my experience. Like, this is happening to lots of people. And it's beautiful. It really is. It's like, again, continuing the dream state into the daytime, which I think is one of the most powerful things that we can summon. And I think it's a concept that almost anyone can understand, because everyone dreams, I think, you know. So you can just articulate to people, you know what? You know what it is to be like exploring your consciousness? You know, you don't have to describe a drug experience to people. You can just be like, it's just like when daytime still seems like the dreaming you do. And I guess I'm not trying to say that's what exploring consciousness is, but that's what the consciousness raising experience of natural time is for me, which is cool. So yesterday we completed the Red Dragon Wave spell, which was the finale point was a red cosmic Skywalker. Apparently I love red Skywalker days. And just to be clear, I'm a blue storm guided by blue hand, challenged by red moon. My occult partner is white wind, and my support is yellow sun. And red Skywalker has nothing to do with any of those days. And I mean, truly nothing to do with any of them. And so I wanted to bring that to your attention so that you could figure out if you have a special, indescribable, and like not traceable sort of compelling attraction or fondness for any of the tribes, and more than one, and, you know, hopefully a bunch of them. Likewise, there can be very difficult days. Yellow human has something to do with my little cosmology of four other tribes, because it is the support or analog to my guide, which means that yellow human essentially is, it supports me having an idea of how to move forward. But without getting into that little intricacy, I'll just say that yellow human days I find practically insufferable much of the time, not always, but especially during a pandemic. We had a yellow human day, obviously, 21 days ago. I remember it was yellow overtone human. It was excruciating. And then yellow crystal human, which was Friday, not nearly as challenging, but just to have to step into being the human in the place of exercising free will and influence and having wisdom. All of that sounds really good, but and is so abused by all of us human beings. I absolutely struggle with my issues around free will and, you know, wanting to be the influencer so that other people are doing what I like. And when we get into those days, I just find it really uncomfortable. So just to say that we are... hold on, we have a dog incident. Lots of dogs staying home these days. and they're lovely. They're lovely. They probably keep us all sane. So that red dragon time I guess that it's best to me just sort of left. I over-explained it, and I'm not sure I ever understood it beyond my basic realization. I mean, of course, I know it's a time of the Great Mother and creation, and that it is also clearly a time of mothering energy, which is nurturing and compassionate and wants to keep everyone nourished. But past all that, I finally remembered the terminology that I had been lacking, which I think was the pivotal point for at least my experience of Red Dragon, the wave spell, which is that Red Dragon is what I just described. It's a very powerful maternal force from which all of creation emerges. And all of creation is created, in fact, in this place. And it was challenged by toxic masculinity. I kept calling it the shadow of the patriarchy, which is fine, but there's a completely commonplace, sort of internet-centered term for this these days, toxic masculinity. And it is the predatory male energy. It is the perpetrator male energy. It is the violent and abusive male energy. It is the one that wants to verbally, emotionally, mentally keep women subjugated. So toxic masculinity to me was the challenge, the negative influence, the opposition, the undermining of the strength of Red Dragon. And we'll see if that continues to be a theme for me and me seeing what's going on in the world now that we're leaving that time. But I would say Red Cosmic Skywalker felt really close to White Wizard. Just remember the cosmic day, at least this is my feeling, is a culmination, a completion of the wave spell that was, and it has all of the, you know, it's just got like, it slips into the wave spell to come. So it's like the residue of, and the triumph of Red Dragon was in Red Cosmic Skywalker, but at the same time, you could start to feel all this enchantment and shamanism and timelessness, magic. I mean, magic is really associated with Blue Monkey in terms of Jose Arguelles' nomenclature, but I think there is so much magic in White Wizard, and that it's a beautiful word to be able to celebrate this White Wizard year and the White Wizard 13-year wave spell, because when you're feeling daunted by some of the darker pictures of White Wizard, just know that magic is so mind-blowing. I mean, I'm suggesting that magic can be so mind-blowing, and mind-blowing loss of control that's sort of pleasurable. Mind-blowing, I think I mean in awe and amazement. Please understand that White Wizard includes all that like black magic and dark juju, which is mind-blowing in a completely different way, which is what is happening when, you know, 80% of the world is staying home. That's mind-blowing and can feel really heavy and scary and destructive. So that's the magic, the quality of enchantment and magic that White Wizard holds. And of course, we're weaving now right into a White Wizard wave spell, so we can use this time to observe again, learn about White Wizard while it's happening. I mean, I talk big game about this is what it is and that's what it was, but much of the time I'm just relaying what I'm feeling right now. I'm observing what is White Wizard the wave spell as it happens to me, which is part of the reason I podcast, because it helps me take time to focus on what I'm experiencing and amplify it by giving it voice. So thank you. But Sometimes, you know, as we head into a wave spell and I'm trying to help people anticipate it or, you know, get ready for these clues or this is your basic orientation, of course I am turning back to what I learned from reading early on and then all the other White Wizard experiences. And I use the prompts that Jose Arguelles gave us, timelessness, enchantment, receptivity for White Wizard, and then remembrance. But it's true that this Red Dragon wave spell that just was, for me, was really steeped in an experience on Red Magnetic Dragon. And I had to look at the interplay between the matriarchy and the patriarchy for the entire 13 days. And I felt by paying attention to it in such detail and persistently and addressing those themes, meaning they create a lot of discomfort, matriarchy v. patriarchy, and by sticking with my discomfort and watching for where I was being led by the force of the wave, I feel like I had some kind of triumph where I'm going to be way less vulnerable to toxic masculinity from here on in. Because each wave spell shows us a purpose in the first day and gives us a challenge in the first day. And then on the second day, we identify the challenge. We may know what the challenge is on this first day of White Magnetic Wizard, the wave spell. We might know. We might be like, well, this day is full of challenge and I can pretty much name it, or I observe that I feel challenged. And then Blue Lunar Eagle is going to really help us hone in on specifically what is the challenge and make sure we don't mix up, you know, the wrong thing as the challenge. We're going to get some specificity on the second day. Sometimes White Magnetic Wizard, or the magnetic day of a wave spell, or the magnetic year of a wave spell, is pretty great or not fraught with challenge. And then we identify on the second day, maybe a challenge arises that we didn't even know was part of our purpose on the first day. It's probably not always either or. You know, what I just described is the first day is got elements that are horrible. And on the second day, you're kind of liberated because you understand kind of what they are. And you realize, okay, it's limited horror. And then version number two is that the first day is fine, everything's pretty great, and you think there's no challenge, but in the second day you're hit hard with a challenge. It's not always one or the other. It's rarely both, though. I think it's rarely both. That's cool. So one day at a time works powerfully in natural time, because what I say is every day is different. You know, it's really a mantra for me when I'm having a hard day. And it's a reminder for me when I'm having a great day, which is happening right now. Like, oh, dang, every day is different. Okay, so a couple other things that I always am trying to fit in here. So if it's White Magnetic Wizard, use this day to get your best microcosmic understanding in the, you know, 12 to 16 hours you're awake, or maybe you want to stay awake longer. Find out what this year means by what is happening today. Emblematically, it's a teaching. I just think that they're portals, that your own birthday is a portal to you, and then other people's birthdays are portals to them. So you pass through a day and you can understand what it's like to be them. You pass through this day, you can understand what this year is like. And then the whole wave spell can play that out further. So it's an exciting time. Because remember, it's a White Wizard year in a White Wizard wave spell of 13 years. So you want to invest in this White Wizard wave spell to try to understand what we're in. Because we're obviously in something. We're always going to say in 2019-20, when we had the White Magnetic Wizard year to begin a 13-year cycle in White Wizard, that was when coronavirus came and we all had to go inside for many moons. And this is like, it happens all the time that we can say, big important things happen in magnetic years. I mean, I don't have like the timeline of history to prove this right now, but I'll get there at some point. Just to show you it's real. I don't know how or why, but it's real. Meaning the wave spells of natural time filter out and affect everything that happens in humanity. It doesn't matter whether people care about natural time, practice natural time, know that it exists. And it's not better to know than to not know. It's just fun. It's not a hierarchy. It kept me really deeply apart from the movement that existed when José Arguelles was alive, and the movement that has survived him is that people can be really evangelical about natural time. And for me, the calmest experience is just to be really grateful for it and to not see it as something like, if people only knew, they would be so much happier, but to just be happy that the people that know are much happier or are invigorated. And hopefully you're one of them. Okay, so I'll talk about White Wizard Wave Spell as we march through it. You know, just wanted to remind people that it's in the future, but the future is now in timelessness, that next year, which starts on July 26, 2020, it's a blue lunar storm year. And so while you're in the lull of being at home or life is limited, I want you to emotionally prepare through whatever you're doing now, you know, picking out your spiritual practices, picking out the things that keep your body healthy, picking out the ways to surround, you know, how you best surround yourself with people that are in affinity or help you grow and learn. I mean, whatever it is that makes you feel safe and strong, do that. Because blue lunar storm sounds like quite a year to me. Again, in this paradigm of magnetic and lunar, we could have more experience of challenge in the magnetic year, or we could have more experience of challenge in the lunar year. Please just rewind if you need to hear that part of the podcast again. It's the same truth, whether it's for days, moons, like magnetic moon, lunar moon, or years, magnetic year, lunar year. Blue lunar storm, I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I'm just saying there's no way around it not being big. It's going to be big. It's a blue storm year. They're always big. They're always election years, but they're always big. And lunar, polarizing, ugh, that just sounds terrible. We're already so polarized. Ugh, what a nightmare. So maybe I'm just practicing preparing for the worst outcome in this last couple of minutes. And I am suggesting that while a lot of us need anchors and hope, I think the anchor and hope doesn't have to be that things are going to be easy. The anchor and hope can be that we're prepared for what's hard. And like I said, you know, we have time right now. We're learning about ourselves in limitation to, you know, love the things that bring you greater calm or ease or structure, less stress. They're myriad of possibilities and they're emerging. It's not like you're going to just have to go and choose them. We're in the moon of manifestation. Maybe they're going to show up for you. Because I'm not telling you to do something that we haven't been designed to do this whole year. This year is about attracting our purpose. That means our strength lies within it. It also means new information, purposefulness that's specific to these 13 years. So, you know, just continue to feel, even though we're in the planetary moon, we're in the manifestation moon of a year where we continue to attract our purpose. And it's really heavy and obvious that the culture is in purposeful change and reckoning. So that doesn't mean that you are responsible for every part of that. Also, find out if you love playing guitar. I was sort of making my list, you know, in quarantine of the things that I really am eager to keep doing for the rest of my life. or for as long as I can physically, if it's like a kind of physically challenging thing, because I'm getting older. But, you know, I probably have 10 years. I probably have this 13-year wave spell to do the things that I love to do athletically. And just recognizing that I'm getting these pieces of information, parts of a puzzle for how I might weather the blue lunar storm year and beyond. So I think I've been meaning to say that for a while, and I finally fit it in because I talked really fast this podcast. It's because I'm in a great mood and every day is different. I do love White Wizard as well. I do love White Wizard. I'm so grateful we're in a White Wizard wave spell for 13 years. It's magical enchantment. It's something I love. It's living in a mythology. It is being on the hero's journey. It is owning how you are also the anti-hero, how I am. You know, we play all the parts of the mythology, princess and predator. Okay, thanks for listening. I'm Lisa Starr. I'm another yourself. I'm doing readings. Somehow I'm throwing that in here. You can look at my website. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.